This is the Web Strategies Podcast, a program dedicated to the technology and techniques of marketing your business on the internet. This program with program notes and links is found on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com. And now, the host of the Web Strategies Podcast, internet marketing expert, Tom Anthony.
Well, thank you, Joe Cipriano, and welcome everybody to the Web Strategies Podcast. I don't know about you, but I think it's cool every time I hear Joe on the beginning of America's Got Talent this summer. He's the one that introduces the show at the beginning. He's the promo voice guy, and then the host comes on. And it's cool to have Joe's voice on the Web Strategies Podcast when I know I'm hearing it on one of the biggest TV shows in the country this summer with America's Got Talent. So, again, Joe Cipriano, thanks very much. Hey, I hope you've been having a better summer than me in terms of luck with security. I have had now two attacks. Both of them are things that I really couldn't avoid. Although I think on the second one, I just wasn't paying enough attention to some files that were on my web server that were older. It was a platform to host a forum type website on Tom Anthony. It was called forum.tomanthony.com, but it's not there anymore, so don't bother. But anyway, it was an old script, an old PHP script that I had gotten from an open source website, and it wasn't updated. I don't think I even looked at it in the last couple of years. So there were things in there that a hacker was able to get into and compromise all of the websites that were in that folder on my server, which were all of my personal websites and my business website. So this website, the Web Strategies Podcast companion site. So it was really a big mess since it had happened 2 weeks prior to that, about the time of the last Web Strategies Podcast with Rich Berner. I had been the victim, as were millions of other people, of what was called a SQL injection Trojan that affected the WordPress platform of content management systems. That's what probably the majority of blogs in the country are done in WordPress. And so that was compromised. And since then, WordPress has come out with a couple of security upgrades. I've rebuilt everything, but it's taken a few weeks. So the interview today with my friend Chandler Turner, who is the owner of Accurate Business Communications, has actually been recorded for several weeks, and I'm just getting to launch it today. And I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. Chandler and I talk about a lot of things in this podcast, and they center around the kind of work that his company does. And you might be able to guess what that is. When the name of it is Accurate Business Communication. So what Chandler does is he goes in and makes sure that websites, printed collateral, that kind of thing, accurately reflect the not only the company that is producing it, but also gives a message that's really clear and easy to understand. So it's about being succinct, and it's about being direct, and it's about being not self-serving, so that you can let your customer, your prospect, get right to the point so that they can see exactly what it is that you do and how you can help them. It is centered on the what's in it for me kind of theory of marketing, which means that nobody's really interested unless you can show them really quickly that they're either going to save money or time or something. So without further ado, I'd like to start the broadcast with Chan Turner, who is the president of Accurate Business Communications in Hampton Roads, Virginia, which is basically the Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Newport News area. There's, what, seven cities, I think they call Hampton Roads, Chan?
Seven cities, that's right.
And so we had lunch the other day at a little place in Chesapeake, and we were talking about how we just really, and we weren't being egotistical here, I got to tell you, this is just the truth. We were talking some high-level sales things, and I was saying, you know, I bet there's a bunch of people that would just love to be listening to this conversation, because you're such an expert at sales and sales training that, you know, the little nuggets that I take for granted, because I've gone through professional sales training at an earlier time in my life too. So, you know, I just, you know, nod my head and say, yeah, that's right. So,
I was kind of talking over you a second ago. You know, I do have a pretty big ego, you know.
Well, I can't tell because I got one that's really huge too. So they just kind of, I guess. But the thing that we were talking about.
I think I have seen the iterations of sales training change over the years from when they first, large consumer products companies, Madison Avenue type companies, and I worked for one of them when I was a Scott Paper company years ago, talked about how to effectively communicate sales talk to potential clients, to prospects. And they were just starting to learn rudimentarily the neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP. And NLP is kind of a pseudoscience that, and no, we don't hypnotize people. And it was actually started by a hypnotist / psychotherapist and a linguist. And it was to help people deal with problems. And it morphed into the sales world when a few very smart people started picking up on it and said, wait a minute, all this is doing is helping us to get people to want to do what we want them to do. So, it is a pseudoscience. There's not a whole great deal of hard data out there, but we know it's extremely effective in communicating with people.
Well, I mean, it's all pseudoscience when you get right down to it. And this is part of what you and I were talking about, is that there's seen all kinds of usability studies, but, you know, it really boils down to, does it work for a specific situation? And the story that you told me at lunch the other day, which I felt was really interesting and very relevant, was the difference between the Droid and the iPad, or the iPhone, I should say, the iPhone. And, it was our shared opinion that the way that it was presented was really a key to the level of satisfaction that the purchaser got out of making that buy. But why don't you go ahead and give my audience your perspective on that?
Well, it's a matter of giving people an emotional attachment to a product. And if you look at the underlying motives that people make a purchase of anything, and it's 100% of the time, people buy for an emotionally based reason. It might be the avoidance of a problem. It might be to solve a problem. It might be nothing more than an ego stroke. For instance, somebody who can afford to buy either one might be buying either a top-line Mercedes or a Rolls-Royce. Either car will get you to wherever you want to get in comfort, but somebody may choose one or the other, and a Rolls-Royce might be nothing but an ego stroke. So if you can come up with a connection between what you're doing and an underlying emotional reason for the buyer to buy it, because they don't buy for your reasons, they buy for theirs. Now, what the difference is in Droid and Apple, the iPad, is very clever. Apple has created an experience of ownership. Droid, on the other hand, is offering people lists of applications. And there's a monstrous difference there. And that's what makes websites effective or not effective. You combine several things at one time. It's the psychology of the sale. And when it's on the internet, it's a time element. You've got somewhere between 3 and 10 seconds to attract or repel interest. Now, you can't start and finish a sale on the internet. Well, I guess if you're running an e-commerce site, you can. But for most people, their websites are an online informational type brochure that they would like to cause somebody to want to contact them. So when you combine the fact that people are buying for an emotional reason, and in the case Apple, it's making people happy. It's giving them a great experience of ownership versus the Droid, which says, buy me because we have lots of applications. there's a monstrous difference there. And if you now, I happen to think that Droid's video image is absolutely gorgeous. I love it. It's a spinning world with lots of colorful logos and things. Wonderful. Love it. But there's no emotional attachment to a list of things.
Oh, not only that. I mean, even the only part of that little animated sequence that besides the spinning logos is like a robot finger pressing buttons. It's not even a human.
That's right. That's right. And you go back, I remember when I was in the grocery industry, we were first learning these things in the early 1980s. This is, by the way, that will tell you right there, this is nothing new. It's tried and true. No, it's nothing new at all. They were talking about they happened to mention Anheuser-Busch. And if you ask an upper-level Anheuser-Busch executive what they were in the business of, most people would say, well, they're in the beer business. No, they weren't. They were in the entertainment business and in the business of making people happy.
That's absolutely right. In fact,
so it's not always about, it's not about the product. It's about the experience.
Well, I think that I think that a lot of people kind of get that on a gut level, but what happens is when you start talking about business mixed with the internet, and you and I have discussed this many times, a lot of people tend to get their eyes glazed over and think of technological things in one big giant bucket with the internet as part of it and websites and email marketing and a lot of really diverse approaches all kind of lumped together. And so to get back to what we're talking about, which is in terms of marketing, is it the experience or the list of items or features? To cut through, I think that the thing that makes any kind of marketing campaign stand head and shoulders above any other is its and I'll use a term that one of your clients that I had a conference with earlier today used with me. It's palatability. If you can make it a relatable, succinct message that doesn't go off crazy in one direction or another, then that message is much more apt to get through. But that applies to many, many things. It applies to, say, the front page of your website, which is, you know, the context of our conversation. But it also applies to how you're listed in Google or what the words in an email marketing campaign are, what the content of it, instead of it being a page ripped out of a catalog, is it a message that's personalized?
Yeah, that's a very accurate way to put that, Tom. And as a matter of fact, I had that conversation at an appointment a little earlier today, and you and I talked about it just briefly. There's nothing wrong with listing information, but if you can't turn that into answering the question of the reader, what's in it for me, then you haven't accomplished anything. And that is the, again, psychology. Lists don't do anything. Emotions and underlying reasons do. Tom, the other thought along these lines about creating website content and how to do it effectively in reaching emotions is simply listing what you do and what you want to be known for very clearly and very succinctly on the home page. And it is flatly amazing to me how many people forget this. For instance, I have a client who's involved in international trade. I'm working with her and her company right now on the other side of what I do, which is sales coaching. But it took me, I had to read through 3.5 pages of text on her website to find out what they really did. Now, when we know that general web searches are only going, searchers are only going to allow you 3 to 10 seconds, you better get your message across very, very quickly.
First paragraph. There's kind of a misunderstanding, and some of it has been perpetrated by companies that make their living claiming to do search engine optimization. But there's a misunderstanding about the kinds of things that should be on your website to make them search engine friendly, and balancing that with just good, sound, common sense about marketing copy. Because yes, you do have to get your keywords in there, but you also have to make it exceedingly simple to understand, just like you said, what it is that you have. Because like you again, like you said just a few seconds ago or a few minutes ago, you only get a few seconds. That's it. So you have to say it. There's a balance between keeping your keyword phrases in there or your search terms in there and just telling people in plain language, here's what we do, here's how we can help you.
That's the value of working with two experts in this field, one who understands search engine optimization and keywords and the other who understands how to create messages properly.
Creating messages that people will hear and understand easily, because if you're the consumer and you're looking for any item, say tires, for example, and you're looking at a listing in Google and it says tire shop near you, and you look and all of a sudden it's talking about brake jobs, you go immediately back to Google and the next tire listing. And it could be that everybody in town knows that XYZ Tire Company has great tire deals, but this week they had a special. And so the special was on brake jobs. But consequently, they lost all of their tire business on their website because people don't look, they don't read, they don't give you a chance to go through your whole product listing. They want what they want. They want it right now. They want it in front of them.
You're right. And of course, we talked about this yesterday too. I think the second worst area behind the homepage, and I'm going to come back to that in just a second, is the About Us page. The About Us page on too many websites lists the history of where the company got funded, the degrees that each one of the partners or the people hold, and the question there is, who cares? Most people don't.
Yeah, now, not even the family members of the people listed.
No. That's not to say that that's not an important thing sometimes, but the About Us page should be what I term you-focused and not me-focused. When I go to an About Us page, I want to find out generally how that company is going to help me do what I'm looking for. And if I don't see it there or on the home page, it takes two or three clicks to get into somebody's website. It takes one to get out.
Exactly. And I see those kinds of metrics too. You know, one of the things that I do for my clients is that I help them manage the statistics of the kind of website traffic that they get. And generally I use Google Analytics. It says in chart form mostly, you know, here's people that came to your website, here's where they came from, here's how long they stayed, here's what here's the path that they took through your website, this page first, this page second. So that kind of information is really helpful in determining how to tweak your website for performance. But unless you understand those basic concepts like you just described, that please, when you are telling me about you, tell me really what you can do for me, not why you got the company that you own.
Right. And that goes back to the reasons that people that resonate with people. How can you help me? What can you do for me? And the marketing industry speak is answering the WIFM question. What's in it for me?
Exactly.
If you can't, especially if, and I talked to somebody around lunchtime today, and I asked him very plainly, and it's a network integration firm. It's a new one. They're starting up, and there's lots of people around who do what they do. And I said, why? I've just talked to five vendors. Let's set the scenario up. I just talked to five vendors in the last week who do exactly what you do. Why should I do business with you?
And give it to me, please, in two sentences.
Yeah, you're right. Same thing with saying, well, great customer service. Think your competition is saying we give lousy customer service. So the one thing that you lead out with, customer service, doesn't mean a thing to much of anybody. However, if you can craft that customer service statement into something to the effect that, and I'm just setting this up as an example, all of my employees go through an intensive customer service training program before they're allowed to talk to the public, and it has become part of our company culture. Now you've made a proactive statement that separates you from the rest of the people that are saying, oh, we give great customer service. Ho-hum.
No, and it's such a common mistake that businesses make. Shop with us. We're the best. We have the lowest prices.
Well, and the other one, and this company was very guilty of it as well. Their tagline was the technology of tomorrow today. Great. What does it mean?
Exactly.
I don't know. Are they an integration company? Are they a web design company? And by the way, the information that answered that question was not on their homepage. I don't know what they do. Too many companies, especially high-tech companies, get caught up in industry-speak technology terms. Now, that's fine if the only people that are shopping for their services are other people that are in their industry. But what if it's not? What if the person searching for something is the president of a company, and it's a $5, $10 million, $20 million a year company, and he's taking it upon himself because he knows the ultimate direction of the company, I got to find something new, and he happens to run across that website, but it doesn't tell him plainly what they do. It's going to confuse him. He's going to go click off that website, go somewhere else. And that company is going to lose an opportunity they will never know they had to begin with. That's a shame.
And it's a really good point. I tell you, you know what it seems like it is to me, and in my experience with not just the internet, but with advertising in general, the medium evolves. My background is broadcasting, and consequently, I'm a student and a fan of the evolution of the entertainment business and of broadcasting. So from the, you know, the original old radio shows up through Casey Kasem's Top 40 and then the digital jukeboxes on satellite today. It's interesting to me to see how things change and how they move. But the point is that they do change and they do move. 10 or 15 years ago when the internet first started becoming a factor, the people who were the presidents of the companies were guys that are probably as old as we are now. But they were older guys that, you know, they were not big early adopters of technology. But that was then. Now, their kids over the last 10 years have, you know, grown up with computers and gotten them on Facebook. They know how to tweet on Twitter. Not that I think that's necessarily a good idea for your business, but... but the owners of companies are much more technological or comfortable with technology, I should say, in 2010. And so it's much more likely that the president of the company is looking you up now than it was 5 years ago.
Oh, you bet it is. It has become, think of it, and I joke with my wife about this, that I've turned her into an internet monster because she takes her credit card and off of the internet she runs. And I hope she's not hearing me say this right now.
I'll send her the link.
But the point is that the internet is where people expect to go and find information about you. If you've just given them your business card and you've had a chance to talk to them for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, the first thing they do when they have a chance, if they're serious about working with you, is they're going to look at the business card, they're going to pull the internet address off of it, and that's exactly where they're going.
Even if you don't have the website listed, but your email address is part of the website name, which is common, people will go to that last part of the email address, you know, the at tomanthony.com. They'll go to tomanthony.com. And so the opportunity that you have is to realize that, you know, it's today. It's not 5 years ago.
No, it's not selling something brand new. It's fulfilling an expectation that exists.
That's exactly right. So here's a real rough segue, but the show's a half hour.
Fair enough.
Guess what I'm getting in the mail tomorrow?
I give up.
I'm getting from, I do business with a company, and this is, I'm, you know, this is not a plug because they give me anything back. I just actually shop there. It's a company in New York City, very, very impressive showroom called B&H Photo. And after two unsuccessful kind of near-miss events where I went out and got some drop cloth type fabric for using with video, I went ahead and I broke down and I ordered the chroma key color blue and the chroma key green screen, blue screen from the manufacturers, and it should be in tomorrow. And so the reason is because I've been I've written a script for two new videos, and I'm all ready to go. I just want to be able to kind of stand in the middle of the video and have other things in there to fly in and, you know, make my points with me. So the one video that I'm doing first is what's going to actually appear in my Google local listing. So in other words, if you go to internet marketing services near Chesapeake, Virginia, or near Norfolk, Virginia, IMS Strategic Internet Marketing Services comes up. Actually, it's like third or fourth, depending on how you put it in. So what happens is you click on for more information, and there'll be a video there. And the video will say, "Hi, I'm Tom Anthony. You're looking at my video in Google Local, so I'll know where they're seeing the video, and I'll explain a little bit about what my company does." I'm really excited about that. The other video I'm doing is, I've told you about a client of mine, Joe Cipriano, that is the Hollywood voice guy, does just won a great award, by the way. He helped set up a kind of a voiceover laboratory in the name of the late, great Don LaFontaine, who people may, you know, the bald guy that did the Geico commercials. He passed away a couple of years ago, and he and Joe Cipriano were really good friends, and Joe has been really instrumental in helping set up this training lab for folks. And he won an award to honor him for that a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, so while I was talking to him about winning the award, he said, "Hey, you know, you got to update my site. I'm doing the Hallmark movie channel now," and he named a couple other things. So in one of the other video that I'm going to do is I get to hold all these really cool logos like Fox and Hallmark and CBS and toss them around like they're made of something real, because I'll have the chroma key. So looking forward to, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make any money doing all the crazy fun stuff, but it's sure going to look cool. So the
as my daughter would say, way cool.
That's it. And you know, but what?
When you look, another thing, and that's something that I've been thinking about doing with my website as well, is adding video. When you look at the, there are basically three broad categories of people and the way that people respond to certain things. A group of people responds more to sight than other things. A second group is they respond to sound. And a third, and they, for lack of a better term, they have come up with kinesthetics, which is kind of touchy-feely. And it might be language, it might be sight, and it might be sound. So the importance, and it's relatively new, this is not exactly an early adopter thing, because there's lots of websites out there with video, but I think that's going to become more of a prominent item that you're going to start to see on websites. And it's a great way to communicate with people who respond more towards sight and sound rather than just touchy-feely words.
Well, I think that it's and it's something that you and I talked about when we had lunch the other day. It was a media mix. It's a matrix. And because people make buying decisions based on different kind of stimulus, that it's always a good idea to mix it up, to have a little bit of all of the above.
Right. Why not have one from column A, one from column B, one from column C?
And if you do it with that in mind before you begin, then it's actually more efficient to do it that way anyway. Because if you're going to set something up for more than one channel, or in this case, I'm setting up a video that's going to appear on my YouTube personal. There's going to be this slightly different version on my website, slightly different version on my YouTube business, but it's all the same video. And the message that goes along with that, you know, generally I write an outline when I'm doing those kinds of things. So that's the voiceover comes from that outline, but I put the text of the outline in a blog entry in a companion website. And so is more efficient to, you know, use all those pieces and parts together than it is to, you know, do one thing at a time kind of randomly.
No question. It's really more than just a consideration for me at this point. Putting video and audio onto my website is going to be something that I absolutely will do. However, I must caution against one thing, caution your listeners against one thing. One of the most irritating, I just leave it at irritating, things that gets in the way of a decent message on a website is video that automatically comes up and talks over your ability to read messages on front page, or a flash video that simply goes over and over and over and won't stop, or you can't get rid of it. I would rather give people the opportunity to listen to a video on my website, or watch a video, excuse me, on the website, than I would just simply to automatically run it.
Well, that's actually, your intuition is verified, because there's usability studies that I've seen that say that it actually ticks people off when uninvited audio or video intrudes into a website. If it says video and you click on it and the video automatically starts, that's no problem. If it's a muted video that says to turn on volume, click here, that's no problem. But when you turn on a web page and somebody starts talking to you, and it's just creepy.
Or if and somebody mentioned this to me, well, so, you know, what if we run just a series of images that cross the screen slowly as they're having the opportunity to read it, like a home builder? There's nothing wrong with that, but it's the distracting type of message that goes voiceover and takes away from the message that you're trying to give. That's a mistake.
Kind of dumbed down as in the early days of the internet, when people figured out they could put what was called a MIDI file into a web page and it would play a goofy little tune. There were people that did that all the time, and it was just really annoying. But it boils down to the same concept, and that is no uninvited media, please.
That's right. We've gone way past. I mean, and putting a flash file on a website used to be great and wonderful and fancy because very few people could do it and do it well. Now, almost anybody can do it. You can add a clip on your website, even if you're not that very technologically savvy. So, you know, don't show me any very complicated stuff. Don't give me a click here to enter my website. Show me what you got.
All right, so I'm going to call time on our podcast, because it's normally a half an hour show. But all right, I wanted to invite you back because obviously we have a lot to talk about.
I'll be happy to do that.
That sounds wonderful. Chan Turner, I appreciate you being on the Web Strategies Podcast.
You're very welcome, my friend.
Thanks again to Chan Turner, who is the owner of Accurate Business Communications and a real old buddy of mine. We've known each other for many years. Thank you, Chan, and thank you, listener, for downloading or subscribing to the Web Strategies Podcast in iTunes. Hey, listen, if you get a chance, in iTunes, there's a place to review the podcast. It would be really great. I'd really appreciate it if you'd go into your iTunes account and give us either a recommendation or a thumbs down if you think we're boring dummies. Either way, when we get some reaction, when we get some feedback in the iTunes comments area, it ranks the podcast higher and it gives us a bigger potential audience. So we really do appreciate it. Thanks again. And we're going to zoom out of here the same way that we normally do. This is the theme song of the Web Strategies Podcast. Is actually one that I had written and performed, recorded, I guess, about a year ago now. It's called Westward Leaning. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next time from the Web Strategies Podcast.
Thanks for downloading or subscribing and listening to this episode of the Web Strategies Podcast. Send show comments and questions to info@webstrategiespodcast.com. You can subscribe to the Web Strategies Podcast on iTunes or on our show website at www.webstrategiespodcast.com.